This is PCJ Radio International. PCJ Radio International presents the longest-running international show, The Happy Station Show, produced and presented by Keith Pehon.
Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Prospero año y felicidad. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad, prospero año y felicidad. I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas. I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas. I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas from the bottom of my heart. I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas. I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas. I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas from the bottom.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome again to another edition of your program, Happy Station, from PCJ Radio International. I'm Keith Perron. It's very nice to have you with us for our second December special. As you probably are aware by now, the month of December, we have decided to present three special holiday shows. Actually, it's four special holiday shows, and I'll tell you about the fourth one a little later on in the program. Now, next week is our traditional Happy Station Christmas show, and this is the, you can call the lead-in to that Christmas show. We have some very well-known music today, as well as a couple of numbers that you may not know, and then later on in the show, Neville Gray will be joining us to read A Very White Christmas, a program that was recorded for Radio Nederland in 1974. So the only thing I can suggest right now is sit back and enjoy. Let's kick off now with a little bit of Henry Mancini, orchestra and choir, doing a medley of two very well-known songs, Jingle Bells and Sleigh Ride.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Hey, jingle bells, jingle-ing-a-lingle, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Hey. Jingle bells, jingle-ing-a-lingle,
bells, jingle all the way. Have a blast, have a ball, laugh it up, give your all in a one-horse open sleigh. Hey, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh.
There's a birthday party at the home of Farmer Gray.
It'll be the perfect ending of a perfect day.
We'll be singing the songs we love to sing without a single stop
at the fireplace while we watch the chestnuts pop.
There's a happy feeling nothing in the world can buy
when they pass around the coffee and the pumpkin pie.
It'll nearly be like a picture print by Currier and Ives.
These wonderful things are the things we remember all through our lives.
Just hear those sleigh bells jingling, ring-ting-tingling too.
Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you.
Outside the snow is falling and friends are calling you.
Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you.
Giddy-up, 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 let's go.
Let's look at the show.
We're riding in a wonderland of snow.
Giddy-up, 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 it's grand.
Just holding your hand.
We're gliding along with the song of a wintry fairyland.
Our cheeks are nice and rosy and comfy cozy are we.
We're snuggled up together like birds of a feather would be.
Let's take that road before us and sing a chorus or two.
Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you.
With you. It's lovely weather for a sleigh ride with you.
The Henry Mancini Orchestra and Choir with Jingle Bells and Sleigh Ride. And hopefully that put you in the holiday mood today for our first official Christmas special for this 2013. It was rather interesting because a number of people have written asking, you know, is Christmas celebrated in Taiwan? Well, this is a predominantly Buddhist country, and yes, Christmas is celebrated, not in the same way, but it doesn't matter where you go, especially in the downtown area. There are Christmas trees at all the department stores, decorations strung up everywhere, including the president's office and other government buildings. Even City Hall gets into it. And there's a big Christmas tree in City Hall right now, which is rather nice. And I think I have to say, one of the nicest Christmas trees in Taiwan at this time of year is the one that's in the Taipei Main train station. And it is huge. I mean, the main hall of the train station is massive. And this tree basically goes right up to the top. And like in previous years, there's a Santa Claus and reindeer hanging from the ceiling right above it. So, in answer to your questions, yes, Christmas is celebrated here. Now, the next thing I want to tell you about is the special QSL card that we are issuing for our two Christmas specials. Those who write in, either by post or by email, will receive it for the programs of December 15th and the 22nd. I'm not going to tell you what it is. The only thing I'm going to say is that it is very nice, and I think those who like to collect this kind of thing will certainly like to add it to your collection. Now, what we're going to do next is we're going to have a little bit of music. When we come back, I'll tell you how you can contact us, and also we're going to be listening to Neville Gray and A Very White Christmas. But first, a song that I think all of you know. It's from one of the most famous Christmas albums of all time. It was made by Bing Crosby many, many years ago. Now, this originally came out as a box set of, I think it was 8 or 9 78 RPM records. And Then in the 50s, it came out on as an LP, and continued to come out every year as an LP, and then it came out on CD. It is probably, if not one of the most famous Bing Crosby Christmas albums of all time, that also features the Andrews Sisters. Here he is doing a song that all of you who like holiday music will know. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas, except here in Taiwan where everything is still green. But you can use your imagination.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere you go. Take a look in the 5 and 10, glistening once again with candy canes and silver lanes aglow. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Toys in every store. But the prettiest sight to see is the holly that will be on your own front door. A pair of hop-along boots and a pistol that shoots is the wish of Barney and Ben. Dolls that will talk and will go for a walk is the hope of Janice and Jen. And Mom and Dad can hardly wait for school to start again.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere you go.
There's a tree in the Grand Hotel, one in the park as well, the sturdy kind that doesn't mind the snow.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
Soon the bells will start, and the thing that'll make them ring is the carol that you sing right within your heart.
Beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Toys in every store.
But the prettiest sight to see is the holly that will be on your own front door. Sure, it's Christmas.
Bing Crosby, and It's Beginning to Look a Lot Like Christmas. Now, the information you need to know if you want to receive the special Christmas QSL card from Happy Station and PCJ, this is what you need to do. Our email address is pcjqsl@pcjmedia.com. That's pcjqsl@pcjmedia.com. Our postal address is PCJ Radio International, 8th floor, number 47, Lane 31, Sanmin Road, Section 1, New Taipei City, Banqiao, Taiwan 22070, ROC. Now, if you didn't have time to write that down, don't worry. Before the end of the show, I will give out our postal address again. We now bring you a special presentation that we've brought you a couple of years in a row, usually at the same time of year. That sounds redundant, doesn't it? It was a recording that I made a mistake. It's not 1974. It was originally made on November the 24th, 1972. And it's a recording from Radio Nederland, and it's called A Very White Christmas. And it's produced and presented by Neville Gray.
A Very White Christmas.
Thank you. Let me take you back in time, back towards the end of the 16th century, to the year 1596. The scene is Amsterdam. The Dam Square was there all right, but hippies were yet a long way out of sight, and the Royal Palace had not yet been built. The old church was there, its bells chiming out the tunes of the hour. I went there again yesterday just to sample one of those tunes, as they're played nowadays. It was pretty cold as I took my tape recorder to the old church square, now part of Amsterdam's red light district, where the girls sit in the windows of quaint little houses, bathing in the soft glow of rosy lampshades and waiting for the odd, lonely customer out for a good time. All right, all right. The ditties of those years were different from today's. Amsterdam was a small trading town built on the banks of an estuary called, as it's called today, the A. People must have celebrated Christmas in much the same manner as they do today, in churches that were more divided than ever as the great conflict between the old Roman Catholic faith and the Reformation was still raging on with unabated bitterness. Amsterdam was ruled by its city fathers, the city corporation which held its sessions at the old town hall. Later, a new town hall was built in Dam Square, where it has since changed its function into that of Amsterdam's famous Royal Palace. And the wise fathers of Amsterdam, a city which rapidly developed into a republic within the Republic of the Netherlands, as the Venice of the North, scanned the oceans in search of new treasures. The globe of the world took on a magical significance in the eyes of these city rulers, and they wondered if perhaps some shorter seaway could be found to the distant oriental realms of China and Japan, those legendary empires traversed on foot by the great Venetian explorer Marco Polo. Marco Polo travelled by land, but should not the Arctic Ocean offer a much more convenient and shorter route?
Attention, please. Will all passengers for flight KL-47 to Tokyo go to gate number B5? Please keep your boarding cards available.
To Tokyo, across the North Pole, just like that. How dead easy it's all become today in the 1970s. Board a taxi to the airport, then board a plane which takes you up and across the vast expanse of polar ice and snow to land you in the magic realm of Cathay, which we now call Japan. It's a cinch today, but back in 1596... In the year of our Lord and Saviour, 1596, two ships left the port of Amsterdam and set sail for the distant north. One ship, commanded by Captain Jan Cornelisson Rijk, lost its way at an early stage of the voyage and turned back. But the other, piloted by Jacob van Heemskerk and carrying a crew of 15 and a well-known cartographer, Willem Barents, got stuck in the ice of the Arctic Ocean. The 17 men were forced to spend the long Arctic night on the island of Nova Zembla, a place of perennial dusk where man had scarcely, if ever, set foot before. What, you may well wonder, prompted the Amsterdam seamen to set sail to the north, risking death in that cruel world of eternal snow and ice? It was a time of rumours and speculations in northern Europe, but not about such things as snowmen sledging along with bells jingling. The stories were all about immensely rich countries in the Far East, countries where gold and silver grew on trees, and the quickest way there was to round Cape North and follow the northern coastline of Muscovia. After a few abortive expeditions, the Amsterdam City Fathers decided to put up a prize for the man who would be the first to find the northern seaway towards the realms of China and Japan. Two skippers, Captain Rijk and Captain van Heemskerk, took up the challenge, and their expeditions set out for the unknown, eager for success and the sizable reward held out for them. So off they went, in the year 1596 to remote China and Japan. The great adventure was on, and it would baffle the world. Today, the Dutch National Museum in Amsterdam still keeps some objects recalling the men's grueling experience in that Arctic hell. But I'll turn to that later in the course of this very, very white Christmas. I won't bother you with the names of all the crew members, but for that of one man, Gerrit de Veer, who was probably the ship's second mate. It was de Veer who wrote the now famous day-by-day account of the journey and the wintering on Nova Zembla. May 18, 1596, the expedition set sail for the North Cape. June 9th, they discover Bear Island. June 19th, they discover Spitsbergen. July 17th, the expedition arrives at Nova Zembla. August 27th, and they're hopelessly locked in the ice. September 17th, they start building a hut to pass the winter on Nova Zembla. For timber, they use trees washed onto the shore along with wood from the ship. The ship's carpenter has died, but most of the men prove excellent craftsmen. They're only a small bunch, and their means of survival are limited, but rarely have so few men displayed so much courage, resourcefulness, and persistence in the face of that whitest of all Christmases, the polar night. Finally, the sun sets on Heemskerk, Barents, and their men. They've now gone into the hut and cut their provisions into daily rations, and these are strictly adhered to. In their crucial battle against the elements, the men cling together as a team in which there's no place for individual greed. From time to time, they manage to kill a bear. Occasionally, they take a pick of the meat, but they still regard it with suspicion. They prefer the meat of Arctic foxes that are caught playing on the roof of the hut. Absolute dark has settled on the snow-covered plains. The only glimmer of light is provided by the stars when, during clear spells, the men venture out of the hut by the chimney. Groping together inside, they hear the sound of the blizzards tearing at their shelter. They fear the end and anxiously wait for the light to return. Let's read now from the diary of Gerrit de Veer, which he kept by the wavering glow of a wick floating in bear's grease during that winter of 1596.
The 24th of December, being Christmas Eve, it was fair weather. Then we opened the doors again and saw much open water in the sea. For we had heard the sea crack and drive, and although it wasn't day, yet we could see quite far. Towards evening, it blew hard out of the northeast, with great store of snow, so that all the passage that we had made open before was stopped up again. The 25th of December, being Christmas Day, it was foul weather, with a northwest wind, and yet, though it was foul weather, we heard the foxes run over our house, wherewith some of our men said it was an ill sign. And while we sat disputing why it should be an ill sign, some of our men made answer that it was an ill sign because we couldn't take them, to put them in a pot to roast them, for that had been a very good sign for us.
Still, the bad weather continued, and the temperature dropped to a point where the men were at a loss how to protect themselves from freezing to death. They made a huge fire, put on all available clothing and heated tiles to warm their feet as they lay down to sleep in their bunks. But despite all precautions, they woke up in the morning to find the boards of their bunks frozen white. Then they'd look at one another in silent dismay. But soon afterwards, hope would flicker again as they knew that the sun was now at its lowest point and they would see its return before long. Thus it happened that for a handful of Dutch seamen locked in the Arctic ice on their impossible voyage to the Far East, Christmas of the year 1596 became a very real Christmas indeed. On that day, they began to look out for the return of the light, the sun, that would again bring warmth to their world. But many days had yet to pass before the men could see the sun, bleak and phantom-like, hovering over the horizon.
On the 4th day of January, it was still foul, stormy weather, with much snow and great cold. The wind southwest, and we were forced to keep in the house. And to know where the wind blew, we thrust a half-pike out the chimney with a little cloth or feather upon it. But as soon as we thrust it out, it was presently frozen, as hard as a piece of wood, and could not go about or stir with the wind. The fifth day of January, it was somewhat still and calm weather. Then we dug our door open again, that we might go out and carry out all the filth that had been made during the time of our being shut in. We made everything handsome and fetched in the wood which we had chopped, and that was about all we did that day. And when we had busied ourselves all day, we remembered it was the eve of the twelfth night. Then we prayed our skipper, Heemskerk, that we might be merry that night, and said that we were content to spend some of the wine that night, which we had spared, and which was our share every second day. And so, that night we made merry and drank to the three kings. And therewith we had 2 pounds of meal, whereof we made pancakes fried in oil, and every man a white biscuit, which we sopped in wine. And so, supposing that we were in our own country, and among our friends, it comforted us as well as if we had made a great banquet in our own house.
The men rejoiced in the prospect that the long polar night would now soon be over. Such was Christmas for those seamen wintering on Nova Zemlya in the year 1596. A very white Christmas, if ever there was one. At home in Amsterdam, relatives of the missing crew made their way to the church to attend the night service and pray to God from the depths of their sorrow. And the Lord had mercy upon the crew, although he eventually took 5 of their 17 lives. On January 24th, Captain van Heemskerk and chronicler Gerrit de Veer actually see the sun peering over the horizon while they're taking a walk along the beach. They return to the house and tell Barents, the cartographer, who flatly refuses to believe it. It can't be. In his reckoning, the sun will not appear for another 14 days. The clock has long since frozen, but they've been using a sand glass to keep careful track of the time. But Kalle's astronomical almanac, printed in Venice for use between 1589 and 1600, settles the dispute. Another crew member dies. After 3 days, they dig a grave in the snow, and on that memorable 27th of January, all see the sun.
Today, the companions had a sad duty to fulfill. Another comrade, the second to die on the island, has to be buried. When the grave is 7 feet deep, all gather for the funeral and psalm-singing ceremony. Afterwards they have breakfast, and as they sit discussing the mass of snow piled up on the house, and decide that, in the event of another snowstorm, it will be safest to scramble out by the chimney, the skipper says he will try this at once. Climbing out on top of the house, he sees the sun shining in full luster, and calling out to the men below, invites them to join him and witness it for themselves. They all climb out, and their moods, still heavy over the loss of their companion, turn to rejoicing and thanksgiving.
Death has claimed its toll. The sun rises above the horizon, and hopes are revived of returning home to Amsterdam. During their voyage south, following the Russian coastline in their sailing barges, three more lives are lost. Willem Barents dies of exhaustion and scurvy. But he leaves memories of great courage and perseverance, and his name lives on in that of the Barents Sea, still to be found on maps in all the languages of the world. Three centuries later, on September 7th, 1871, Captain Elling Carlsen of Hammerfest, Norway, discovers Barents Harbour on Nova Zembla. After 2 days, his expedition hits upon the hut which Barents and his men built in the snow. In it, they find the things left behind by the Dutchman, most of them perfectly preserved in the ice. Today, the History Department of the Dutch National Museum in Amsterdam still shows the clock that stopped in Heemskerk and Barents' hut just before the whitest of all their white Christmases began.
Attention, please. Last call for flight KL-47 to Tokyo. All passengers to gate number B5, please.
It's all a cinch nowadays, flying over the Barents Sea in a snug, warm plane. Looking out of the window from your comfortable armchair, you can see the white mountain ranges where, just as in the days of Heemskerk and Barents, the polar bears are hunting their prey, and where a very, very white Christmas reigns all the year round.
That was A Very White Christmas, a radio feature written by Joe van der Velle in Hilversum, Holland. The narrator was Neville Gray.
Well, we certainly hope you enjoyed that special feature today here on Happy Station from PCJ Radio International, broadcasting to listeners on 9335 kilohertz in the 31-meter band. Now, a moment ago, I told you about the contact details for us and how you can get in touch with us, and I'll give that out a little later on in the program, just so you can have time to go get a... That's the sound of a pen, and probably a pencil. Don't have a pencil, but I have some paper. There we go. Yeah, I'll send you this piece of paper by post, and then you can write the address down. We had an email that came in just 2 weeks ago, before we did the program, and somebody was asking me if I do put up a Christmas tree at home. Yes, I do. And, well, normally I do. Last year, I didn't. And there was a very good reason for that. Now, I'll tell you what it is. It's rather a funny story. The previous year, what had happened, as you're probably aware, my home is a little bit of a zoo. That's putting it mildly, actually. It's a big zoo. Three very large dogs, which have a combined weight of around 70 kilograms, and a cat. That's right, three dogs and a cat. The cat is 15 kilograms, so he's rather big. Anyway, 2 years ago, I put up the Christmas tree, and I went to sleep and woke up probably around 4:30 or 5:30 in the morning, because he decided to climb it. Well, as he was climbing it, the whole tree fell over, and a lot of the glass and ceramic decorations also broke at the same time. It was a big mess. And then I thought, well, you know, next year what I'll do is I'm not going to put it up, because I'm going to be doing some traveling and going away, so I'm not going to, you know, look at it just for 2 days. But this year I will be putting it up and tying it firmly to the wall. Now, I have heard from other people similar kinds of stories involving cats and Christmas trees. I remember one story a listener told me how when he was young, the cat climbed the Christmas tree every year it went up, and the cat would stay inside the Christmas tree, which was a problem because the dogs would then jump on the Christmas tree and make the Christmas tree fall over. Luckily, my dogs are not, they're not that crazy. They are a little bit crazy, but, you know, c'est la vie, as they say. These kind of things do happen. Now, I know that many of you listening right now probably don't celebrate Christmas. I know that we have a lot of listeners who celebrate things like the Chinese New Year, which is coming up in the beginning of February. It actually starts at the end of January, and 2014 is going to be the year of the horse. There are those of you out there who follow Ramadan, and there are those who follow Hanukkah. But one thing that I have heard from many people, even though you may not follow Christmas, is many people know the songs. Now, what is interesting, especially here in Asia, is you can go to China where they don't celebrate Christmas at all. But people are familiar with the songs, very familiar with the songs. And you're probably saying to yourself, well, why is that? Well, it's very simple. People are familiar with the songs because in many cases, they use these songs to teach English. Yes, it's quite, it's an interesting idea. I mean, you think about it because, you know, the lyrics to Christmas songs are quite easy, and you know, there's nothing difficult to pronounce in them, so you know, that's what is done. Okay, time now for more music. We're going to listen to a song that was a big hit when it first came out, and it was to raise money in Africa. It was organized by British singer Bob Geldof. Yes, Bob Geldof. In fact, the Americans also did a version, well, not of the same song, a different song. But what Bob Geldof did is he got together all the big pop singers of the 1980s and had them record this song. Some did solos and some were singing in the chorus. And it is really a who's who of British pop music at the time, and I'm sure that everybody out there will know it. Features singers like Simon Le Bon from Duran Duran, Bananarama, Boy George, Bono from U2. I mean, the list just goes on and on. The song is called Do They Know It's Christmas Time?
It's Christmas time. There's no need. At Christmas time, we let in light and we banish it. And in our world of plenty, we can spread a smile of joy. Throw your arms around the world at Christmas time. At Christmas time,
Do They Know It's Christmas Time? Band-Aid, made up of a whole bunch of very well-known 1980s pop stars from the UK. You're listening to Happy Station, coming to you from PCJ Radio International, and this is, of course, our first Christmas special for the year. Next week is our, well, our traditional Christmas program that is airing next week, and it's something that we've been doing since 2009. And we have a wonderful program, as always. We have two stories in the show, 'Twas the Night Before Christmas and How the Grinch Stole Christmas, read by yours truly. And, of course, Tom Meyer will be making an appearance in that program, so I hope you can tune in. It's a song that, it's one of my favorite Christmas songs, and it's not a song that many people remember too well. I think one of the singers that had a hit with it was Dean Martin. Dean Martin recorded it by himself, and he also did a duet with Frank Sinatra on his television show, Dean Martin's show, that is, of the song. And I think you will definitely enjoy it. So that's coming up next week. Now I want to tell you about the other special program that we have for the month of December for a holiday, and that is on the 29th. Oh, I forgot to mention this. Next week, the 22nd of December, the show that I was just telling you about will also be broadcast to North America at the same time, between 13:30 and 14:30 UTC. We don't have the frequency yet as of the recording of this program, but if you go to our website, www.pcjmedia.com, we will have it posted there. And we're going to be broadcasting from the new WRMI site in Okeechobee, Florida, for listeners in North America. So we will have two frequencies on the air on December the 22nd. Getting back to the program of the 29th, on the 29th, that show will be live. En direct in vivo. Yes, live. In living, I can't say living stereo, but in living audio anyway. And we're asking people who are listening right now, you know, come and join us for the final show for 2013. We'll make a little bit of a party. And we're going to be calling up some listeners and having a jolly good time. So if you want to take part in that program, the live show on December the 29th, send us an email, pcjqsl@pcjmedia.com. That's pcjqsl@pcjmedia.com. And it doesn't matter where you are. Just leave us a phone number and remember, you know, make sure that you're free between 13:30 and 14:30 UTC. Because we're going to call you up and we're going to do it at random. You never know. You know, so make sure. We don't. It'll be funny. I just picture it right now. We're calling somebody up and we'll wake them up and they'll go, yeah, hey, you know, and drive them crazy. But no, if you want to take part in that program, pcjqsl@pcjmedia.com, which is also the same email address to use if you want to receive our Christmas, or rather limited Christmas edition, QSL, for the broadcast of the 15th and 22nd. You can also contact us by post, PCJ Radio International, 8th floor, that's 8th floor, number 47, Lane 31, Sanmin Road, which is S-A-N-M-I-N, Sanmin Road, New Taipei City. Oh, I forgot to mention, after Sanmin Road, you should write Section 1, S-E-C-T-I-O-N 1, because Sanmin Road has two different sections. And both sections have the same lane number, so you have to put Section 1, okay? New Taipei City, Banqiao, B-A-N-C-I-A-O, Taiwan, 22070, and that's in the ROC. But, you know, if you want to take part in our live program, let us know, and it's going to be a lot of fun. I think you'll have, you know, it'd be fun to listen to. Now, because it is live on that weekend, the partner stations are not going to be receiving the same program. The partner stations will be receiving another show. The following week in January, which will be the first show in January, which is going to be January the 5th, we will broadcast excerpts from that live show for those who missed it. But those listeners who listen to this show on AM or FM or through other means, we'll be hearing another program on that weekend. So we have two shows going out, one recorded, one live, between 13:30 and 14:30 UTC. All right, time now for more music. Here's a man who is known as Mr. Christmas because of a lot of Christmas television specials that he did, the one and only Andy Williams with It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. With the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer. It's the most wonderful time of the year. It's the happiest season of all. With those holiday greetings and gay happy meetings when friends come to call. It's the happiest season of all. Parties for hosting, marshmallows for toasting, and caroling out in the snow. There'll be scary ghost stories and tales of the glories of Christmases long, long ago. It's the most wonderful time of the year. There'll be much mistletoeing and hearts will be glowing when loved ones are near. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
There'll be parties for hosts, marshmallows for toast, and caroling out in the snow.
There'll be scary ghost stories and tales of the glories of Christmases long, long ago. It's the most wonderful time of the year. There'll be much mistletoeing and hearts will be glowing when loved ones are near. It's the most wonderful time. Yes, the most wonderful time. Oh, the most wonderful time.
Sings low.
Well, that was Claudine Langer, who was once the wife of Andy Williams, with a song called Snow, a Christmas song that may people may not remember too well. And before that, Andy Williams with The Most Wonderful Time of the Year. Now, you know, it's funny because some listeners wrote us and said that in parts of the United States right now, and Canada, there are stations that move to the 24-hour Christmas music. And I think, okay, maybe during Christmas it's all right, but some of these stations started, November 1st? Yes. Imagine that. November and December, nothing but Christmas music. But that's, if you think that's bad, this one is even better. A radio station in the United States, in the northeast of the United States, started broadcasting Christmas music in the middle of October. Oy. Now that, I think that's a little bit too early, you know. But apparently, this is done because it is very, very successful commercially. Very successful commercially. So, maybe there's something to it. I thought, you know, maybe we should just do the same thing, but I thought, you know, no, it's a little bit much. We have played, of course, a lot, but, you know, to play nonstop Christmas music back-to-back for 1 hour with no announcements and the normal things that we do, except we didn't do any of the normal things today, I think it would be a little bit too much and people wouldn't know what they're listening to. Mind you, if you don't know what you're listening to, I don't even know what I'm doing, so it doesn't matter. That's it. That's all we have time for this week. We're going to end today with Stevie Wonder and a song called What Christmas Means to Me. So, friends, tune in next week for the Happy Station Traditional Christmas Program right here from PCJ Radio International. So until next time, so long, au revoir, auf Wiedersehen, adios amigos, and sayonara. Coming in. Oh, baby, let's deck the hall.